You want to turn your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. While she's passing them out, we'll just do a little bit of a review right quickly for those of you that weren't here. We was looking at this, the verse of Scripture that Brother J.C. was using was in Psalm Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now we see this is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. He said, train up a child in the way he should go. Not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And he said, if we follow that commandment, he said, then there's a promise. He said, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's a promise from God. So the thing is that the thing is that we've got to instill the Word of God into their heart now, amen, so that they can hold on to it later. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he goes on to speak of some things. He said am I in this matter doing what I can? Asking about leading a child in the way that the Lord would have us to go. Amen. For that child's sake, for his good, and that he might know the Lord. And he said it was for all of us to do this, not just one or two, but it's for every one of us to be there for their children, or his children, amen, to lead them in the way that they need to go. I'm afraid we've missed the mark. Amen. We've let children go at the way that they would instead of the way that they need to go. Amen. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of us that's been let go the way that we would instead of the way that we should have went. Amen. I'm glad that I had a mom and a daddy that stood on me, amen, told me that there's certain things that I wasn't going to do. And I'm here today because I didn't do those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he says we're to train children for heaven, getting them ready, preparing them for heaven. We looked at it, said it first in number one. It said first, then, if we would train your children rightly, train them in the way they should go and not the way they would. He said they're decided bias toward evil. Tendencies are toward evil and not towards good. He said we tend to want to go in the way that we shouldn't go. Amen? They said foolishness is abound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22 and 15. He said a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 29:15. So we got to train them up in the way they should go. So our hearts are like the earth on which we tread. Let it alone, and it is sure to bear weeds. So that's what's going to happen if we don't grow. If we don't train our, it's the same way with us adults. If we don't train our heart in the way we should go, we're going to drift out and go all kind of different directions. But if we train our hearts in the way that we should go, amen. Lord, help us to go in the right way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see in a nutshell, he said that we've got to train our children in the way that it should go. And I think we can do that tonight if we just get the right direction in the right help. In Ephesians chapter 6, we'll just read the first few verses tonight, and then we'll go on to lesson number 2. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he's talking about training up our children. Now he tells children, he says, children, are you listening, children? Our children, are you listening? All you young people? Jeffrey, are you listening? Yeah, your mom's back there. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's right? What's right? Obeying your parents. He said, it's right. It's the right thing to do. Now, would God lie? Can God lie? No, God can't lie. So he said, God cannot lie. So he says, hey, he said, obey your parents. He said, for this is right. He said, it's the right thing to do. Landon, he said, you obey your parents. You obey your grandparents. He said, that's right. He said, it's the right thing to do. But does he say it's right? He said, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You realize if you want to live a good long life on this earth, you are to mind your parents. You are to obey your parents. You are to honor your parents. Amen? If you honor your parents, amen, and honor your father and your mother, he said, there's a long life for you if you do that. But then he goes on and says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, what is this nurture and admonition? See, that's what we're missing out in today. Nurturing is discipline. Amen? We need to discipline our children. We're living in a society where there's no discipline. I've seen ladies bring children into the store. I seen it right over at Kmart one time on Tunnel Road. Lady brought a little girl into the store, put her in the buggy, and but a little girl started screaming and shouting and pitching a fit. And you know what Mama did? She took her and she said, "Okay," said, "we're just gonna go home. We'll come back shop again another day." That's what she did. I seen it in my eyes, or I wouldn't have believed it. You know what she should have done? She ought to have took her out of the buggy, all right. Took her into the ladies' restroom, tanned her little hide. Amen. Said, "Look, I'm the authority. And then you're going to sit in this buggy, you're going to be quiet while Mommy shops." That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. But we're living today in a time that there's no discipline. Little John is the one that he's telling us what we're going to do. He's telling us what he's going to do, and he's telling us what we're going to do. That ain't the way God planned it to be. We're supposed to be the children's authority. No, they're not supposed to be our authority. Amen. Now, I know you get a little leniency when you get to be a grandparent. Amen. You can spoil them, but no, you don't want to. Hey, listen, we need to come you grandparents need to come alongside the mamas and daddies, amen, and help them and guide them and lead and be a good godly example for these children. And if they're being disobedient to mom and daddy, amen, then you need to say, "Look, you ate some things that God says you need to do." You say, "Well, that was not my place." Really? Since when? Amen. Did God say that the older men are supposed to direct the younger ones and the older ladies are supposed to direct the ladies? Amen. Hey, we're supposed to come along and help one another. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't want to get in my children's business." Well, you're their mom and daddy. They go and they leave and cleave. They become one as husband and wife. But praise God, that don't mean that you can't give them a little godly advice. It would be wrong if we didn't. Amen. You say, "Amen. Amen." So we're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition, Lord. Amen. Now that admonition, that's gentle reproof. Amen. That's gentle reproof. That's that gentle counsel. That's telling them why you're going to have to spank their little bottom. Amen. Tell them why you love them and why God loves them and why there's certain things we can't do and certain things we can do. There's directions that God says we can go and directions God says we're to stay away from. Amen. See, this is not rocket science. It's pretty simple. Amen. Glory to God. So he said, these are some things, some principles that we need. Now in lesson 2, the Bible's talking about training up your child with all tenderness, affection, and patience. Now I want you to listen, and I want you to underline this here. It says, train up your child. Amen. Train up your child. That means what that's telling us is, hey, we have a responsibility. Your child is your child. He's your responsibility. What he turns out to be is your responsibility with the help of the Lord. Now listen to what he says. And I like this. He says, "I do not mean that you are to spoil him, but I do mean that you should let him see that you love him." Amen? So you don't want to spoil your children. But you want them to see that you love them. Now, I got to thinking on that out there yesterday in the study, and I was thinking, what does it mean to spoil your children? Or how many of us is spoiled? Probably a whole lot of us. And the rest of you just ain't honest. No, you can't. We don't drink here, brother. This is a study class. I do not mean that you are to spoil them. So, spoil. I got to think about that, and I got my old Noah Webster's dictionary out, and I looked up the word spoil. You know what the word spoil? What do you think the word spoil means? Rotten. Well, listen. This is what Noah Webster says. He said spoil. It says to pull asunder, to corrupt, to ruin, to destroy, to render useless, to decay, to lose valuable qualities. I don't think we want to spoil our children. Because when we spoil our children, that we're making them useless. We're living in a land today where we have a whole bunch of children that are useless. If they can't do this right here, they can't do nothing. I've seen them come and go down there at the plant. Hey, man, they come in there and you put them into manual labor. And a lot of times all they got to do is stand there and tie a knot, tie that pipe, tie one end, go tie the other end, lay it in a bundle. And you know, they can't make it for, they can't make it to the first break doing that. It's too exerting for them. Because they've never had to. Let me just say this, and I won't get in your business tonight, but if you've got children, if they don't have chores, then you're hurting yourself. Children need to have chores. Amen. They don't need to sit in front of TV and computer and play all the time. Children need to have chores. They need to have a list of things posted on the refrigerator somewhere that they're to do. Daily chores, daily activities, amen, that helps around the house and shows them a method of accomplishment. See, we're living in a world that we don't have no work ethic. I mean, we just, bebop along and play our little song, and when it's all said and done, we can't find a job because nobody won't pay you to do that. Amen. Sometimes you got to get in there and get it to make a living. But he said it's to pull asunder is to spoil, to corrupt and to ruin, to destroy and to render useless. And boy, I thought that, and I thought, my goodness, if that isn't society today, a whole lot of uselessness. But he said, you don't want to spoil your child. You don't want to make them useless, but you want to give them. You want to show them love. You want to show them that tenderness and affection and patience. And you know, let me just say this right here. We have a tendency to be able to do that with everybody else's children, but a whole lot of times we don't do that with our own. Amen? We'll have tenderness and affection and patience with somebody else's children, but when it comes to our own children, sometimes we're lacking, aren't we? Amen? And we shouldn't be. He says, he goes on to say in paragraph 2, he says, love should be the silver thread that runs through all your conduct. Kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearance, patience, sympathy, a willingness to enter into childish troubles. Now that sounds kind of like Bible, don't it? All these characteristics of what we should be. He said, these are the cords by which a child may be led. He says, a readiness to take part in childish joys. You know what we fail to do with our children? We fail to take part in childish joys. We tend to try to make them up here instead of just little bitty fellas. Amen? We try to put responsibility on them. It's good to have responsibility. I just said so. But we need to not be too, we're not made up to the point that we're just dictating to them constantly, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. Because there's never no time for joy. Amen. We need to have time to enjoy our children because, hey, in a flash, they're gone. You'll blink your eyes, you'll look up, and they're grown. They're in high school, they're in college, they're out of the house, and they're gone. And you'll blink and you've missed it. We need to take time to enjoy all these, all you that have got children that's out of the home now. You can relate to this. Amen. Just a flash and they're gone. We need to take time to enjoy our children, the childish joys of childhood while we have opportunity. So these are the cords by which a child may be led most easily. Amen. When we're partakers with our children, Then we begin to lead them. We begin to have a relationship with them, kind of like the Lord wants to do with us. Amen. He wants to just kind of lead us along and help us to enjoy the ride. He said, "These are the clues you must follow if you would find the way to His heart." Now listen to this. It says, "For few are to be found, even among grown-up people who are not more easy to draw than to drive." I wonder how much time we spend driving our children, amen, instead of drawing our children. God help us. Eye-opening stuff. He said, there is that in all our minds which rises in arms against compulsion. We set up our backs and stiffen our necks at the very idea of a forced obedience. Forced obedience. Hey, we do. Our shackles come up, buddy, and we're resistive right away when we're forced to obey. We don't want to. The compulsion there is just to rise up, set our backs, stiffen our necks. That's the very idea of being of a forced obedience. We are like young horses in the hand of a breaker. Handle them kindly and make much of them, and by and by you may guide them with thread. Use them roughly and violently, and it will be many a month before you get the mastery of them at all. Now that's good advice. If you try to push and force them into obedience, but if you love them and draw them into obedience, show them that love and that love of God through us, then we can begin to lead our children in the way that they should go. But we cannot drive our children. We must lead our children. And we do that by love, by tenderness, by patience. Amen? You can't force a child to do. Hey, if you try to force them, they're just going to get more rebellious. Amen? So we've got to learn to lead our children instead of driving our children. It's a fine line. He said, now children's minds are cast in much the same mold as our own. Sternness and severity of manner chill them and throw them back. It shuts up their hearts, and you will weary yourself to find the door. But let them only see that you have an affectionate feeling towards them, that you are really desirous to make them happy and do them good. That if you punish them, it is intended for their profit. And that like the pelican, you would give your heart's blood to nourish their souls. Now this thing of pelican. Now pelicans they feed copiously. In other words, they gorge themselves. The mama pelican, daddy pelican come in, they open up their mouth, and that little bird just goes in there and he just eats all he can. Now I don't know. I pulled up and was trying to look, see if they actually were nourished by blood, and there's no proof of that. But they say that it comes from the innermost part of them, amen, of the mama or the daddy pelican. And it comes up and it feeds and nourishes the little one. And they say that studies have showed that whenever they come and they gorge in such a way that these little ones would sometimes even faint or just like pass out after they've gorged to the full. So we see that mama pelican, that daddy pelican, they come up and they've eaten that stuff. They took it in, and then they open up their mouth and they give it out. And those little ones are just feeding, gorging until they become full. See, that's what we've got. If we're going to ever get our children back, we're going to have to get in the book ourselves. We're going to have to study for ourselves. We're going to have to know how to act and how to react with them so that we can encourage them in this walk that we have. Because we only get one chance. One chance and it's gone. Amen. So we need to do it right the first time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see here that once these pelicans have fed, he said, I say that they will soon be all your own. But they must be wooed with kindness if their attention is ever to be won. Amen. So we get them with kindness. Amen. We've got to give them kindness. We've got to give them patience. And we've got to give them consideration. We have to love our children. They're not just little peoples that God put us just to be a dictator over. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But it comes from just not loving them in a godly manner. He said, and surely reason itself might teach us this lesson. Children are weak and tender creatures. And as such, they need patience and considerate treatment. We must handle them delicately, like frail machines, lest by rough fingering we do more harm than good. They are like young plants and need gentle watering, often but little at a time. Amen. We need to help them. We need to come alongside them a little at a time. We need to encourage them a little. It weighs a lot of discouragement. We can be discouraged. Parents can be discouraging. To see, we want little Johnny to be perfect. We want we want him to be just as perfect as can be. And what we want them to be is something that we're not. Amen? We're wanting our children at an early age to be something that we're not. They're not perfect. They're just little vessels. They're just little me and yous. They're not perfect. But praise God, it's our job, praise God, to nurture them along a little at a time. Encourage them in the ways of perfection. Does that make any sense? With the help of the Lord. A little at a time. We must not expect all things at once. We must remember what children are and teach them as they are able to bear. Their minds are like a lump of metal, not to be forged and made useful at once, but only by a succession of little blows. Their understandings are like narrow-necked vessels. We must pour in the wine of knowledge gradually, or much of it will be spilled and lost. Now here's how we do it. He said, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little must be our rule. He said, we have to take the knowledge of God and His wisdom and pour it into them. Be willing to pour it into them a little at a time. Encourage them a little at a time, a little God's Word at a time. Amen? You can't just quote the whole book to them, expect them to take it in and understand. But when we come alongside them and we give them a precept and a line, praise God, and a line and a precept, praise God, they can begin to understand. Hey, and I want to say these little fellas, their minds are retaining a whole lot more than you think. They get here and they're coloring, they're marking, they're drawing and everything else while we're preaching. But they get home, they probably tell you more about what I preach than you could. Amen? They remember it. It's sinking in. I mean, it's going into, their little minds are just like sponges. And we put in there a little bit of time with love and compassion because we care. And their little sponge heads just absorbing it up. Amen? It's just a marvelous thing. It's the way God created them. Praise the Lord. He said, the whetstone does its work slowly, but frequent rubbing will bring the sheath to a fine edge. True, there is a need of patience in training a child, but without it, nothing can be done. So what we've got to do is we've got to learn patience. Where does patience come from? Patience comes from... Amen! Patience comes from tribulation. Well, where does tribulation? But it all comes from love. Amen. We do it. We have patience because of love. Praise the Lord. Work of tribulation. Amen. And there'll be some. Hey, we laugh about it. There'll be a lot of heartache in raising children. It's not easy. Amen. You have your ups and your downs, praise God. But the main thing is to remember in your mind, praise God, that's your little soul that God has given you, and you've got to love Him. He needs to love you, and the only way He'll love you is if you love Him and show Him love. Amen? Then He'll begin to have that relationship that God desires, that whittling, that sharpening, that bringing to an edge. Amen? But you can't do nothing without that patience in training a child. He said, nothing will compensate for the absence of this tenderness and love. A minister may speak the truth as it is in Jesus, clearly, forcibly, unanswerably, but if he does not speak it in love, few souls will be won. Just so you must set before your children their duty, command, threaten, punish, reason. But if affection be wanting in your treatment, your labor will be all in vain. Amen? So you can threaten, you can punish, you can do whatever you want to, but if you don't love them, all of that will be in vain. Because there's still going to be that heart of rebellion that's against you. Don't you wish somebody would have told you this stuff years ago? Amen? So we'd know how to react when they act. Praise the Lord. But he gives us his name. He said, hey, listen, what we got to do is remember that we love them. They're ours. You can't put them back. They're yours. You've got them. Amen. And there's no refunds on our children. So we've got to just love them. Praise the Lord. Affection. But if affection be wanting your treatment, your labor will be in vain. He said, love is one great secret of successful training. Anger and harshness may frighten, but they will not persuade the child that you are right. Did you get that? Let me read that one more time. Love is one grand secret of successful training. Anger and harshness may frighten, but they will not persuade the child that you are right. It'll not persuade them. said, and if he sees you out of temper, you will soon cease to have his respect. Amen. If we blow up and we pitch a fit, and our children see that, you've done lost respect. We can't do that. God tells us not to do that. Amen. He said, a father who speaks to his son as Saul did to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20 and 30 need not expect to retain his influence over his son's mind. Now you remember what happened over in Psalms? Let me look at that right. Let me look at it right quick. I want to read that to you. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. He said, Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? The kind of sternness that he... And then not only did he do that, but he tried to pin him to a wall with a javelin. Now, is that the love of God? There's no love in that. If he was upset with him, then he ought to explain it to him in a rational state of mind. But he doesn't. And it was Saul's own shortcomings that the son was seeing. Whenever we blow up, listen to me, whenever we blow up and get all up in a temper, it's our shortcomings that Junior's seeing. Amen? It's nothing in him, but it will be. Because you're instilling it by your actions. Little Junior's going to act just like you do. Amen. That's right. He's going to act just like you do. He's going to react just like you do. Because hey, Mama, Daddy, Grandma, Papa, he's watching you. And he's going to act and react just like what he sees. Especially in his close relations. Amen. So we've got to learn to control ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26... Well, 25 says we're supposed to quit lying, and we know that. But if we quit lying, then we've got to be honest with ourselves, right? Amen? Oh, me. He said, be angry and sin not. He said, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be, Miss Terry, it's okay to be angry with Blake when he does something that he knows not to do. But we don't want to go into sin in what we do in that. If Landon does something, Brother Bill, that he shouldn't do, it's okay to be angry about the rebellion and the sin that he's committing. But we can't allow that anger and that anger to display itself in our temperament. Amen. We've got to learn to control that, because how we manage that is the same way they're going to manage it. So we've got to learn to be temperate. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Here we go again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If you can't say something good, take time out. Amen. Sometimes I believe us parents need to take time out. Send Johnny, send Susie, send whoever to their room. Amen. You take time to calm down. You take time to get your thoughts. You take you a deep breath, and then you go talk to them in a godly manner. Amen. Because you go in there screaming at them, and guess what we're going to do when they have children? They're going to scream at them too. And it doesn't accomplish a thing. Amen. He said, let no corrupt communication, amen, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That edifying means to uplift and encourage and to build up. You say, well, I'm mad at him. He just done something I told him not to do. I'm upset with him. Well, you let him know that you're upset with him, and you know that because you're his authority that you're going to have to spank him to the bottom. But you do it in a godly manner. Because you love him and you want him to grow up and be edified, to be uplifted above that sin that he committed. Amen? You don't want to bring... If we ain't careful, we're taking ourselves to the same place he is. How's God in that? We've got to learn to do it differently. And we do it with the help of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what if I blow up? Well, then you're disgracing the Lord. We're grieving the Lord. He said in verse 30, he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Amen? He said, if we don't allow to... Hey, you know how you keep that temper, that anger under control? Because the Holy Spirit of God's in you. Amen? The Spirit of God in you helps you to maintain control at all times. So that you don't get... You can be angry and sin not. Don't you wish you'd known this years ago? Amen? It'd have been so much better if we could have just known. But we got to learn to have control, that self-control. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. He said, don't grieve Him by blowing up instead of letting Him direct you in what you need to say and do. And being a godly person. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, get rid of it like you hate it. Kick it out of the house. Don't allow it in there no more. That clamor's just screaming and hollering all the time. Amen? He said, it don't do no good. It doesn't edify. It doesn't lift up. So quit it. He said, put it away like you hate it. Amen? Chunk it out. Praise God. When in doubt, kick it out. Amen? If you don't know whether or not it'll help you and help your children, amen, just kick it out. Don't allow it to come in your home. That make no place for it. Praise the Lord. You say, well, how do you do that? He said, if you do that, he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he said, if we're tenderhearted and we have a heart of love, praise God, we can forgive. That don't mean that Johnny don't get it, still get his spanking because he's disobedient. Amen. We have to discipline. He said, parents, what did he say? Parents, he said, nurture and admonition. That discipline and that good, godly counsel. Amen. You take them in there and make them sit on bed and you tell them why you're going to have to give them a whipping. Amen. You say, you know what I told you was not to do and you've done it anyway. So now I'm going to have to give you a spanking. Amen. And I'm doing it because I love you. So I just don't feel... I know when Mama used to whip me, I just didn't feel love in that. Amen? I just didn't feel love in no spanking. But you know what? Now I do. I see it. I thank God that my mother loved me enough to spank my little bottom. Amen? If she hadn't have, then she wouldn't have loved me if she'd let me do anything I wanted to. And where would we have been today? But I thank God for the good chastening of Mama. Amen? Praise the Lord. He goes on to say, he said, try hard to keep up a hold on your child's affections. It is a dangerous thing to make your children afraid of you. Did you get that? It's a dangerous thing to make your children afraid of you. Your children should never be afraid of you. Amen? They should respect you. See, anything is almost better than reserve and constraint between your child and yourself. And this will come in with fear. Fear puts an end to openness of manner. Fear leads to concealment. Fear sows the seed of much hypocrisy and leads to many a lie. So you don't want them to live under an envelope of fear. You want them to live under an envelope of respect. You say, well, they don't have it. They may not have it now because we're not showing them the kind of love that we need to be showing them. We're not giving them that kind of relationship that they need to grow and to have the confidence in us. Listen, we need to be in our children's life to where they have enough confidence that they can come talk to us about anything. Amen. That's the ideal parent. See, we're not to be their buddies. We're supposed to be our parents. We're supposed to have the answers. And if we don't have the answers, we ought to get them. Amen. When our children come to us, they ought to be able to come to us, to confide in us, to talk to us, to ask us questions, and expect us to give them answers. That's what's wrong in the world today. Do you know that's why they say that most people are getting up when they get into high school or getting out of church? Because they're asking questions and nobody's got answers. So they go to the schoolhouse, and the schoolhouse, they've got them 8 hours a day, and in questions they got, they answer their questions. So they get the mentality that, hey, look, the world's got the answers and the church house don't. But what's even more pathetic is the world's got the answers and mama and daddy doesn't. We ought to try to find the answer so that we can help our children in this walk of life. He said, there is a mine of truth in the apostles' words to the Colossians. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3 and 21. Let not the advice it contains be overlooked. We see a wealth of knowledge in this text. Now this word provoke, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This word provoke means to exert authority, to irritate or move the passions of their children merely for their own pleasure, without the principle regarding God's glory and the child's profit. I wonder how many times in our life we've provoked our children. How many times have we provoked our children? Amen. God help us not to provoke our children. To just exert our authority on them for no reason. Just because we can. To irritate them and move them. The passions of their child merely for your own pleasures. Without principle regarding God's glory or child's profit. Do we ever do that? Do you ever do that? Do you ever just do something, just say something to them or give them directions, just because you can? Because you're the boss? Huh? We need to be careful not to provoke them to anger. Not to come down on them hard just because we can. We tend to do that. And we don't even think about it. But if we can get the love of God in our heart, if we can get a thought and redirection, amen, in the idea and the principle that these are just little souls. They're little human beings, and they need tenderness and compassion, and they need patience. Amen. They need patience. You say, well, preacher, you don't realize my children's grown. They still need the same things. Amen. They still need the same things. Amen. Just like that little bitty fella does. He still needs to know that mama and daddy love him, love her. They still need to know that they're there for them, that they can talk to them, they can come to them. They still know that there's a mind of compassion and love down at the house where they came from. You say, well, preacher, it was never that way. Well, it's time to start. Amen. It's time for us to back up. It's time for us to get enough godliness in ourselves that we're going to say, well, you know, the Lord said this is the way it is to be done, so we're going to line up with the Lord. We're going to allow God to begin to direct our path, and that path is the right path for our children so that we can lead them in that path that leads them to heavenly places. Amen. That gives them a heavenly direction that puts them on a path for eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do that the way that we are. But we can do it if we become that person that the Lord would have us to be. So that we can direct that path of our children. Amen. So that we can love them and nurture them in the way that the Lord does. He says in here in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. He said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He said that's that counseling that they need, the good counsel that they need. Bring them up, to bring them up. Amen. In other words, instead of putting them down, he said we need to encourage them up. We need to lift them up. You say, well, preacher, they're disobedient. Well, I wonder why. I wonder why they're that way. It's because we've made them that way. Because we haven't directed them Godward. Amen. We've got to start, and how do we do that? By getting on our face before God and saying, Lord, forgive me for my mistakes, for my shortcomings, for my rebellion, and help me to get where I need to be so that my children, my grandchildren, will have a direction to go. If we don't, we're going to lose another generation and another generation and another till we end up in ungodliness in a world that's totally without God. Amen. Without direction. But you know what? God says it don't have to be that way. He said if we'll trust in the Lord and do it the right way, we can have a godly relationship with God and with our children. A kind of relationship that'll encourage them in this journey called life. Amen. It's not that hard. It's just having a different perspective on ourselves and on these little souls that's been put in our care. These are little people. Little souls. Amen.